This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. I trust the program encourages you, blesses you, and perhaps even challenges you. And again, if you'd like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. We welcome prayer requests and comments. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there, and you can email me from the website. I also have a weekly email meditation that you might find helpful. So you'll need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, the last 2 weeks, we've broken away from our series of messages on the overview of the Bible, because we obviously had to think about the Christmas message and again about a New Year's message. And as we come into this new year, this is the first Sunday of 2020, and I suppose, in a sense, our calendar is a bit artificial, but when we come in to the first day of 365 days, as we keep it on our calendar, 366 in a New Year's leap year, as we do that artificial count, nevertheless, it does remind us that there is 365 days of opportunity ahead of us, but yet we are also told that we don't know what a day may bring forth. And so it is my contention that the only way to really be prepared for a new year, to be prepared for anything in this life, is to first of all make sure we are right with God. That includes coming to a point in our lives where we realize as sinners we need a Savior, and when we trust Him, and of course we often quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that verse is enough to give you a ticket to heaven if you would just simply put your confidence and trust in what the Lord says. But of course none of us will do that until we find that we have a need, and that need is found in the conviction of the Holy Spirit as it convicts us of our sin and shows us that we are not going to be right with God based on what we do. The only way we can be right with God is if we're based on what, that's based on what He has done for us. But nevertheless, once we have come to a saving knowledge of the truth, once we have been born again, once we have had our personal calendars start over, then we also want to, generally, we want to serve the Lord. We want to know this one who has been so kind as to meet our need at Calvary's cross. We want to know the grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ. And so as we look at the Bible, we look for lessons that will help us in serving Him. And of course, what we do to serve Him does not make us fit for heaven, but what we do to serve Him is one way of saying thanks to God. We do that by being baptized, of course, after we're saved, to openly confess that we are now Christians, and to again give a lesson that people can see, an object lesson that people can see of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Hopefully it's reflected in our own lives when we're baptized. And then we can remember the Lord by a breaking bread. Those are ceremonial things we can do. But then we also, all of us, ask the question, as Paul did on the Damascus Road, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And as we come to the book of Nehemiah, which is the book we want to look at for our overview today, he essentially asked that question, and the Lord sent him from Babylon back to Jerusalem to build the wall around Jerusalem. We looked at Ezra, and Ezra was the one who helped rebuild the temple, and we know that it wasn't easy. There was a long gap after they laid the foundation before the temple was built. And the temple is the place where God dwells. In the New Testament, the temple would be the church. We read about that in 1 Corinthians 3. And we find out that the church is the temple of God, and God counts it, that temple, precious. And he said, if anyone destroys the temple of God, him will God destroy. And so we see the place where God dwells should be held sacred. But now Ezra has helped build the temple, but Nehemiah, he is coming back to Jerusalem. He's being sent back to Jerusalem to build the wall. And there's a lot of questions about walls today, even in our own country, and I don't want to get into the pros and cons of having walls with regard to our borders, but when we look at the wall that Nehemiah was building, it was designed to keep the right people in and to keep the wrong people out. And, of course, any wall should do that. It should keep the right people in. It shouldn't keep everybody out. It should keep the wrong people out. It should keep the right people in. And it's designed to defend in the case of Jerusalem, to defend the city of Jerusalem. And in that day, walled cities were places of safety in the case of war. Now, I know that they had embankments built against them and oftentimes would surround the city and cut off its water supply, cut off its food supply. But nevertheless, normally a walled city could be defended. And so while we look at the building of walls, it's a lesson that we need to look at with regard to the church. Because if we are going to keep the wrong people out and let the right people in, we've got to understand what it means to be holy. And that means that we are separated unto the Lord, and we have to understand a little something about unequal yokes, not being yoked with unbelievers if we're a believer, if we really want to serve the Lord. So it's possible to build walls to keep the wrong people in and the right people out, and in a sense, as we have looked at the history of Christianity down through the years, denominationalism has done this in a very big way. But at the same time, as we try to get away from denominationalism and try to be more scriptural about the walls that God would have built with regard to true scriptural separation, when we look at that, we have to recognize that letting everybody in to the church is not scriptural either. And it is the fact that we become very understanding with regard to people who really have never been converted, never have trusted in the Lord, never have recognized that the Lord is Jehovah, that the Lord is the beginning and the end. He is the one who is and was and who is to come. He was the creator. People have never acknowledged that, and they come into our churches and often do us great damage. So this is a very important topic, and it's not one that we're going to be able to develop completely today. A lot of disagreement with regard to this topic. Some people think nobody should ever be shut out of a church, and yet the Bible does talk about the unbeliever. It does talk about those who have sinned morally and how, what should be done with them, and it does talk about those who are evil in the church and how that they will lead disciples after them. And so there's a lot of wisdom required with regard to this topic. Now, Nehemiah was the third great leader in the Jewish restoration. Zerubbabel led the first group of exiles back to Jerusalem in 538 BC. It's in Ezra 2, and he supervised the building of the temple. And almost 80 years later, Ezra the scribe came to the holy city with a second group of Jews, bringing sweeping reforms through his ministry of God's word. But in times, things degenerated in Jerusalem. And so when we come to the book of Nehemiah, we see that even in a time of restoration, there can be a time of departure. And that was true with regard to the people who were dwelling in Jerusalem. And so we find out as Nehemiah comes back, one of the things that he does is he builds the wall, and it's interesting to look at how that wall is built. It's built with a lot of resistance on the part of their enemies. And then we find out that chapter 8 is what I would call a proper conference. We talk about having conferences, but this is a proper conference where Ezra taught the people, and it says in Nehemiah 8 and verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And that's what a conference is all about. It's to help us to understand what God has said in the Bible, to give a proper interpretation of the Bible. And that's why I'm giving this overview, because I've tried to emphasize that when we read our Bible, we need to understand it in its context. When we read our Bible, we need to understand that we see principles in the Gospels. We see examples in the Acts of the Apostles. We see teaching in the epistles. We see illustrations in the Old Testament. And we need to rightly divide the word of truth. The Bible says, the God says, and with understanding a few of these principles, the Holy Spirit can guide us into all truth. And so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. So when we look at Nehemiah, it seems to me that the theme of Nehemiah is found in Nehemiah chapter 2, where we read these words, "Let us rise up and build." And I'm going to read from Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 16. "And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done." Now, Nehemiah was going out and surveying the work that needed to be done, the wall that had been broken down. He had come back now to Jerusalem and was surveying the work. "And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others who did the work. Then I said to them, 'You see the distress we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach.' And I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' Then they set their hands to this good work." And I hope that that's our desire when we think of the work of the Lord. Let us rise up and build. I realize that in Matthew 16, the Lord says that he is going to build the church on the truth that Jesus is the Christ and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But we have the gospel, and the gospel is the basis of the church. It's the truth that Peter confessed, and that gospel needs to be proclaimed. And then once it's proclaimed, we need to go back to the Word of God to see what pleases the Lord. We didn't get saved by the things that we thought would save us. We had to have our minds changed. And when it comes to serving the Lord, we often have to have our minds changed with regard to the means of worship. And so we come to the Word of God to rightly divide it and to see what God has to say. And the idea that society has changed and so the way in which we serve God has changed is foreign to the Scriptures. God's Word does not change. God's will does not change. We're still saved one way, through Christ, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And we build, after we are saved, the way the New Testament writers in the epistles told us to build, and that's the backbone of our interpretation. And so when we look at Nehemiah, this lesson is, let us rise up and build, and may that be our desire, even today, that we might be those who build, not those who tear down. It's easy to destroy, but it's hard to build, and we need to be builders. We need to go back to the truth and do God's work God's way. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today, to bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name, amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.